Welcome back, everyone. Our next guest, lifelong Michigander, served in the U.S. Army, was a special agent for the FBI, served as a state senator right here in Michigan, served in the U.S. Congress. And the first question I have for Congressman Mike Rogers is, Mike, after all of that, why would you want to go back to Washington?
Hey, Sandy. Thanks for a great question, by the way. I just think everything's broken. And man, do we need some real leadership. We need some common sense leadership back in Washington. I'm worried about my kids' future. I'm worried about my potential grandkids' future. I'm worried about your kids and your the America that we give to this next generation. I think all of that's at risk. And so I have a lot of experience. I can, I'm not enamored with the place. I don't need the job nor the title. And I thought I can, I think that I can get the job done here in Michigan because where our numbers are showing that. And then when we walk in the door, I guarantee you we're going to get some things done. No training, no training wheels, just get right at it. And so all of those things and that concern for my fellow Michiganders who are living paycheck to paycheck and need some help pretty quickly. And I think they want somebody who can walk in the door and get busy quickly. And that's why I decided to go into all of this again. And you do have to be a little crazy in this modern era of politics, for sure.
Well, we're happy for your craziness, Congressman, because, you know, we need good people in both parties to run. I think we certainly have it in this race. This is going to be one of the most competitive races. But before we talk about election dynamics, I want to talk about policy. You have such a national security resume. As you scan the globe, you know, what's happening, you know, the Gaza war in Israel, Ukraine and Russia, the geopolitical threat from China, you know, all the other hotspots around the globe. You see, you know, what's happening, you know, in Yemen and places like that have made the seas dangerous. How do you prioritize the national security threats to the United States?
I think the biggest threat and the most long-term and I think the thing that could be most damaging is China. It is a rising strategic threat to the United States, and it comes at us in several different ways. It comes at us economically. You know, with a great example is these EVs. 85% of any electric vehicle has to be, you know, processed, the components processed in China. Huge problem for us going forward economically. Their Navy is now bigger than the United States Navy. Their nuclear arsenal is now probably the most modern nuclear arsenal in the world. And they're catching up in size, unfortunately. They're tagging up with other adversaries of ours like Russia and kind of pushing their limits, as you saw a few weeks ago when they had a Chinese aircraft and a Russian aircraft enter U.S. airspace. And that triggers a whole bunch of things, by the way. So they know exactly what they're doing when they do that. So I think that is the biggest problem we have. The second group here, and by the way, cyber is a big and major part of this. They are so aggressive in stealing intellectual property and now planning for disruption operations. And we saw that when they were trying to get into the water and sewer and light networks in Hawaii. If they ever went into Taiwan, they wanted to be able to flip that switch and turn everything off. And by the way, you're not rebooting that. And then the Middle East. I mean, the Middle East was completely preventable. There was a series of really bad decisions by the Biden-Harris administration that kind of got us where we are today. If we don't want to get dragged into another conflict, we've got to stop that thing right away.
You know, we've been talking about electrification of vehicles. Obviously, China has the lead. They have had a national strategy that means a lot of national money going in to support the EV industry. But, you know, for those of us who follow the industry also kind of come to the realization that, you know, in the industrialized world, we might be moving to EVs if we want to or not. How do you suggest the U.S. government and U.S. businesses navigate this really difficult conundrum of, you know, what consumers want today versus what they're likely to want 20 years from now?
So I look at this a couple of ways. I just think this is that we're going about this all wrong. So we have an electric grid that couldn't handle, even if they were the government and the Democrats were successful in saying we're going to be all EV here in a very short period of time, our electric grid can't handle it. So there is no plans on the table for massive upgrades I would use, you know, these small modular nuclear reactors. They're safer. We can deal with the waste. By the way, zero emissions. So there's ways to get to that, which we haven't even started those conversations. So you're going to have all these cars plugging into an infrastructure that cannot handle it, number one. Number two, 500 pounds of critical minerals, and they're called critical because they're hard to find and hard to get out of the ground, does one EV. So that 500 pounds makes one EV. That takes 4 tons of carbon out of the year. That same 500 pounds can make 90 hybrid cars, and that takes 140 tons of carbon out of the air. You don't have to plug it in. And here's the best part. We still need auto workers to build engines. 40% less labor to build an all-electric car. And again, 85% of that processing goes to China. We are absolutely giving ourselves a disadvantage in the world economy when we do this. So I think if you allow us to go to hybrid vehicles, work on the electric grid, and let the car companies markets, not mandates. Look what's happened when these mandates come out of Washington, D.C. 2,400 layoffs in Stellantis. Ford lost $130,000 per electric vehicle. That's what happens when the government gets its hand in your business and tells you what kind of car to produce and tells the consumer what kind of car you have to buy. This market will get there, but let it get there. Let the markets work this thing. And in the meantime, why not let these companies sell hybrid vehicles? You'll have a much quicker impact on carbon emissions, if that's what their stated intent is. You're not going to overburden the electric grid, and you're going to keep workers working here in Michigan. This is really dangerous for Michigan's economy. You start taking, there's 1.1 million jobs associated with a gas engine, 40% less of that. You do the math, hundreds of thousands of potential job losses. What would that do to our economy? I mean, absolutely death. And they're trying to do it overnight. There would be no adjustment period. That's pretty dangerous, I think.
So, Congressman, as you're obviously traveling across the state, what are the top 1, 2, 3 issues that voters are talking to you about?
Yeah, number one, believe it or not, is illegal immigration and crime. They lumped the two together. 10 million people came here.
I think we may have lost. Here we go. Oh, sorry, Congressman, you're cutting out in and out just a little bit here.
Oh, sorry. The illegal immigration is number one, and it's because of the cost problem and the fact that we have this a bit of a crime spike here with illegal immigrants. We just had a sexual assault of a young girl. We've had an illegal immigrant expose themselves to a 9-year-old. I mean, the list is starting to get longer and longer. So people are very concerned about it. Fentanyl coming through the southern border, it's just pouring in. 3,000 Michigan citizens gave their lives to this epidemic, and we've got to do something about it. And then lastly on this list, people can't afford groceries and gasoline and rent. And for this whole new 20-something generation, buying a house is just, falling through their fingers. And so I hear every day these really heart-wrenching stories about people literally deciding to put gas in their tank or groceries on the table. And it's all caused by the inflationary policies coming out of Washington, D.C. And we can do something about it. Here's the good news. I'm an eternal optimist. My wife says it's a genetic defect. But we can do something about this. And that's why I'm running. We're going to do something about it. We're going to make groceries affordable again, and we're going to clean up that southern border, bring security back, and bring security and safety back to our neighborhoods.
Well, Congressman, we need some unbridled optimism everywhere in our lives today, so I appreciate you being an optimist. We have to wrap up, but before we go, I just want to thank you for your incredible work while you were chair of the House Intelligence Committee during the Bush administration. After 9/11, we needed a steady hand at the wheel at the Intel Committee. Thank you for your public service. You be safe out on the campaign trail. Thank you, Mike
Sandy,
Rogers.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back.